Father, we come to you today. We come to the rock. We come to you, Father, to sit at your feet, to feed on your word, to be in your presence. Speak to us today, Father. Speak to our hearts. Speak to those deep, deep places, God, that only you can reach today in each one of us, the deepest places that you desire to go with us and in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning. I'm glad you're here today. I want to share something with you briefly from Scripture. From the book of Ephesians, it says, "And he, God, himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, that is, the building up of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man." Jesus has given the church the fivefold ministry that I just read to you there. And as your pastor, I'm committed to bringing any way possible this fivefold ministry to our church, because it's God has given it to the church to edify and to build up the church, to build up the body, to unify the body. And so in that regard, today we have an evangelist with us. We have Daniel Couch. I consider a good friend. I encountered Daniel almost 10 years ago, and believe me, it was an encounter. He was doing a high school revival at our church, a week-long high school revival in our auditorium in our location over by the turnpike. We were there, and I slipped in during the day one morning because they were holding their services during the morning, and that's how I encountered Daniel, and we got to talk a little bit and got together, and he's been to our church several times, and I'm just pleased to bring him back. It's been a few years. This is his first time in this location, and Daniel is an evangelist that travels the U.S. He's also a missionary evangelist to other countries, Zimbabwe, Zambia, and he's a guy that loves God, and you'll be able to tell from his accent that he's from New Jersey. I think New Jersey or New York, I'm not sure, somewhere up in there. But please welcome Daniel Couch.
I think this one's mine. There we go, amen. Fire in the hole. It's good to be home at Heart Cry. It looks like you guys have never missed a beat, amen. I pulled into the parking lot, I felt the presence of the Lord today. And I'm glad that I did, because I had a late flight coming in. I think I'll find up flying into Orlando about 1 o'clock this morning and out of Atlanta. So I laid down and got a little nap. Woke up this morning earlier than my alarm went off, so I woke my alarm up. Hey, man, that's rare. But I woke it up this morning by turning it off before it even got started. I could not wait to get here today. For those of you that think that I'm visiting, I want you to know I was here before you. Amen. So this is stomping grounds for me. It's good to get to see my friends again, and those of you, amen, that have been in service with us for years. We're coming off a five-week run right now, so I'm not wore out. I'm just warmed up. And Wendy and the children are at home, getting caught up on homeschool. And last I heard, she was slaughtering Abigail, amen, because a little smart mouth, amen. At 14-year-old, they just get in that phase, don't they? Then I got a 15-year-old son, and he thinks he's supposed to drive everywhere we go. So it's just been refreshing getting to come home, amen, to Heart Cry. I hope you guys, amen, get something out of this today that ministers to you. I want to encourage you. I know traditionally and typically we're supposed to let out here early and then the next crew come in. But I'm preaching two different messages today God's put in my spirit. So if you want a full-week revival in a morning service, amen, you're going to get it today, all right? It's going to be a record for me. So I've got a little bit of a harness on here, but I'm going to rear back and let it all go, amen, on the second service. A brand new message God's put in my spirit called Ugly Praise. You don't want to miss it. So if there's any way you can hang around, be here for the second service, it'll be worth your time, I promise you. If you have your Bibles and you will this morning, I want to love on you out of Romans chapter 8 today. The 8th chapter of the book of Romans will be my launching pad. I have preached around this for 22 years of evangelism. And by the way, Leonard didn't tell you that his job as a pastor is to get you to the promised land. But my job as an evangelist is to get you out of Egypt. And I was just watching a while ago as we were singing that resurrected song. What's some lyrics in that thing, amen? Lifting me out of the ashes. And the resurrected one is resurrecting me. So that's my prayer and my hope today for coming, amen, to St. Cloud, is that God would resurrect somebody in this room, amen, that is going through turmoil in their life. I know you're here because God sent this message today. I hope it encourages you. Would you please stand with me this morning for the reading of the Word of the Lord? Romans chapter 8 today. I'm going to begin reading today in verse number 26. Verse number 26 today through verse 28, and then we're going to read verse 31. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not with what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know, look at your neighbor and say, you better know it. And we know that all things, that means what you're going through right now, what you walked out of yesterday, and what's waiting on you tomorrow morning, all things work together for good to those that go to Heart Cry Chapel. To those that own a Bible. Come on, really? Well, that's how we think. We think because we go to church, that alone benefits us the blessings of God. But that's not necessarily the truth. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian no more than going to a chicken house makes you a hen. I am from Alabama, right? Amen. Or New Jersey, was it? All right. I'm the only one in Jersey with a chicken house. Anyhow, moving along. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Verse 31, what shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? I want you to high-five five people and tell them something good is going to come out of this. Something good is going to come out of this. Something good is going to come out of this. You can be seated this morning in the presence of the Lord. Thank you so much for being here today. Don't turn there because they say that I'm not only a fast preacher, but you have to be a fast hearer, all right? So that's probably going to be the case of the first service anyhow. Don't turn there. By the time you get there, I'll be gone. But in Daniel chapter number 3, verses 1 through 30, we find a story of tremendous interest. I was reading this last night at 28,000 feet. It's astonishing, to be quite frank with you. We often hear about this story in church settings because it shows us how our God can step in the middle of our chaos and confusion and can bring order and peace. In Daniel chapter 3, it shows us how our God can take destruction and turn it into promotion. It's the story of three extraordinary teenagers by the name of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And their story reflects the simplicity of God's undeniable love. It's also his relentless endeavor to see us through, no matter how hot the fire for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, no matter how deep the water for Moses, no matter how strong the wind for his disciples, no matter how empty the barrel for the widow and her son, no matter how in prison we may feel like Paul and Silas, no matter how we become blind like Barnabas, how discouraged we get like Elijah under a juniper tree, or even how lonely at times we feel like Jesus in Gethsemane. Amen. No matter how deep we have sunk like Jonah, or how far we have strayed like a prodigal, or just simply the times we want to give up and quit like David laying in sackcloth and ashes, God, in his undeniable love and his relentless endeavor, will see to it that we make it through no matter what. If you believe that today, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Some of you today, in my prayer time and my study and fasting for this very service today, God's revealed to me that somebody would be here in the first service as well as the second service that's going through the fire. And it's not just the kind of fire you sense the heat off of. I burned some trash out in the yard prior to yesterday and set some stuff on fire. And when I lit the flame, I stepped back. I could just feel the heat off of it. But there's some fires, amen, that provokes more than heat. It'll leave scar tissue. And some of you are going not only through just some little fire, but you're going through a blaze, amen. And it's the kind of fire that hurts. It's the kind of fire that burns. It's even made you cry. And I know it's going to sound crazy. I'm not being sarcastic. I'm not trying, amen, to be insensitive. But what you ought to be doing at this point is praising God because you even made it to the fire. By all rights, listen, it's a miracle you've made it this far. Amen. You shouldn't have lived through that car wreck, and you know it. The officer on the scene said that nobody should have made it out alive. Amen. But God had mercy towards you. Somebody else I'm talking to, you shouldn't have lived through that drug overdose. Amen. You had enough dope in your system to kill a herd of elephants. Amen. But God, amen, amen, had his hand on you. I'm talking to somebody right now. It's a miracle you're not in prison. If you'd get honest today and pull off your mask, amen, you know as well as I do, amen, amen, the truth of the fact of it is, amen, there were others that was guilty of a lot less than you, amen, and they're serving a lot of time in the pen. But God had mercy towards you. As a matter of fact, amen, it's a miracle that some of you are not in the mental institution. Other people have gone through a lot less than what you're going through and lost their blooming minds. They went off the deep end and never recovered, but God had his hand on you. Why are you trying to say, Brother Couch? I'll tell you exactly what I'm saying. Others gave up where your miracle has started. Others gave up. Listen to me. What I'm saying is that nobody expected you to make it, but you're alive and well today. Amen. In St. Cloud, Florida, at Heart Cry Chapel. You're still in your right mind. You're still serving God. You're filled with the Holy Ghost and power. It's in times of testing, Brother Leonard, that we need to remember our testimonies. Hear what I'm saying right here. It's in times of testing, we need to remember what God's already done for us. As a matter of fact, we thought the church would fade away over by the turnpike, but God has obviously sent a time of refreshing. We thought God had forgotten about us, but then somebody got saved. Looked like everybody was leaving. But I look out there today at so many brand new fresh faces. Thought this marriage was over. We were headed for the rocks. Now look at us. We're headed to the rock. Come on, amen. Big difference, right? Thought it was over many times. But I see God just getting started with us again. You know, life is full of seasons. Life is full of chapters. I'm working on a message right now entitled New Chapter. And the reason why it is because I've learned something about chapters. Doesn't matter whether it's a short chapter. Doesn't matter whether it's a long chapter. Some chapters are happy. Some chapters are sad. Some chapters really pull you in. Other chapters put you to sleep, right? Come on, amen. Amen. But no matter if it's a long chapter or a short chapter, a funny chapter or a sad chapter, one thing all chapters have in common, they all have an end. Right? I believe it's a new day for Heart Cry Chapel. I didn't even know him, Sister Karen, and he was watching over me. I wasn't even serving him, Leonard, and he was keeping his hand on me. I didn't even love him, yet he sent his angels to deliver me. The truth of the fact of it is, from those new faces today, I haven't always had it together. Not saying I got it all together today. But the truth is, amen, God's brought me a long way. I was raped and molested when I was 3 years old by a male babysitter. My sister was shot and killed in cold-blooded murder when I was 19 years old. She was 24. I wind up getting off into the military and wind up going AWOL from the military because of rebellion and my life spiraling downhill. I'm not proud of that, but that's my story. I got off into sniffing gas fumes and paint thinners and lost my virginity at a very young age of 12 years of age. And from there, amen, it slipped over into marijuana. From marijuana, it went to powdered cocaine. From powdered cocaine to crack cocaine. From crack cocaine to LSD to acid to sticking needles in my veins to pornography to male dancing to drug dealing, making $3,000 a week in clear-cut profit. Amen, to Jägermeister, vodka, Long Island teas, Bud Light, the whole nine yards. Amen, the truth of the fact of it is, when God found me, I was sleeping in a cardboard box in Five Points, Birmingham, a bum on the streets. When God saved me, I was eating out of dumpsters behind McDonald's and Burger King. I'm telling you right now, amen, amen, something good will come out of this, amen. God has a plan for your life as he did for me, and I'm telling you something, amen. God never forsakes a crippled marriage. God never forsakes a wounded soldier, amen. God, amen, will rescue you in a time of need. Many years ago, my son and I were on Lake Gunnersville fishing, and the bald eagle has moved up into northern Alabama now. We were out there bass fishing, and I remember looking up in the top of a big pine tree there, and there was a big eagle's nest hanging out across the side of that pine tree, and I was so intrigued by it that I grabbed my binoculars and laid my rod and reel down and went to looking at this eagle's nest, and it didn't take long to realize it was an active nest, and I seen two little fuzzy heads sticking over the side of it, little yellow beaks, and I got to zooming in. There was Papa Eagle, there was Mama Eagle, and after a little while, amen, Pop Eagle flew out of the nest, and I knew it was the male because the female always rears the young and tends to the home, and she nests, if you will. That's what she does. And what he does, he goes off and gets the food and brings back what's called green spiry. And as a token of love for the female, every day he does this because she loves to have something fresh and new she can weave into her window, into her web, amen, into her nest. And so I was watching this, and the pop eagle flew off. And I watched the little fuzzy heads get closer and closer to the edge. It didn't take but a few minutes, and I told Kevin, listen, buddy, I said, if that eagle's not careful, that thing's either fixing to fall out or mama is going to take advantage of it and shove it out, right?
Amen. Can I get an amen out?
So sure enough, just as I said that, I leaned down to fiddle with something, and Caleb hollered out, look, Daddy, and I looked up. And that little eagle had come out of the nest and was coming down tail first. You could tell it was his first flight. Amen. And his feathers going the wrong way. And he's flapping his wings and he's squealing like everything. And I dropped the trolling motor down, was going to give it gas and grab it. I mean, it's a federal crime to kill him, not raise him, right? Amen. I was going to take him home, amen, make a buddy out of him. And so I get the fishing net. We get over there, and just about the time his tail starts to hit the water, he's probably about this high off the water, over the top of my bass boat out of nowhere. I don't even know where he came from. I heard, and I looked up, and the father eagle had swooped down and caught this little baby eagle on his back and soared through the woods and took him out of sight. And when he did, I heard God say to me, you cannot fall faster than the father can fly. Come on, folks, amen. I'm telling you, amen, something good will come out of this. I don't know about you, but I wasn't the strongest one. I wasn't the smartest one. I wasn't the most popular one. I had big ears, buck teeth, a big Indian nose, and if my back blistered, my belly would peel. I couldn't even get a date for prom, but I made it. I made it, baby. The truth is, I should be dead in a graveyard, but I made it, and there's no explanation for it but God. I had very few minutes with Pastor Leonard a while ago in the office. What I can hear, you've made it too. And there's no explanation for it but God. I mean, my God, man, I'm complaining about an $800 a month payment on my house. Amen. $10,000 a month. Dude, I'd lose my mind. Hello? Right? Come on, amen. I'd be up here preaching butter beans. Come on, amen. Hello? Anything to get you to come back, right? Somebody ought to shout in this house, but God. Say it. Come on. But God. Say it again. But God. Give God praise into this house today, man, for reaching out and catching you just in time. I said, I'll let to remind you that if God was with you before you ever got into the fire, then he is not going to leave you now that you're feeling the heat. If God said amen, I said, if God was with you before you got in it, he will most assuredly be with you while you're in it. It's been my story for 22 years. It's been my story. As a matter of fact, amen, if you're in the middle of a fire furnace, then that alone is proof that you're coming out. You want to know how I know that? Because the miracle started at the door. And if God wasn't going to bring you all the way out, amen, you would have died at the doorpost long ago. You would never made it as far as you have, even to the middle. Amen, you would not be in the middle of a furnace if God was not going to bring you all the way through the furnace. You would have died way back then and never made it this far. God's not into playing games with us. Of all the stories in my life, when I look back, amen, and I thought it was over with. I thought I was going down for the count. I thought it was, you know, throw in the towel, stick a fork in me, I'm done. I look back at it, and it was just another life lesson. Amen. It was just another learning process to bring me closer to God. Amen. You ought to high five your neighbor right now and tell him, I know I'm coming out. Come on. Amen. I walked in, not sure, but I know I'm coming out. Amen. It's a miracle that I've made it this far. I'm talking to somebody that's taken a hard hit, and there's no denying it. As a matter of fact, it hurt, and it knocked you down. It knocked the breath out of you. Amen. It knocked you off your blooming feet. But God told me to tell heart cry this right here. Indeed, it knocked you off your feet. Amen. But that's the biggest mistake the devil has ever made concerning Heart Cry Chapel, because when Heart Cry Chapel gets knocked off its feet, Heart Cry Chapel falls to its knees. And when this church fell to its knees, you touched heaven. And when you touch heaven, the devil finds himself on the verge of a panic attack. Come on, folks. I believe that. You might have lost a realm. I don't know everybody's story here. I've lost a lot of rounds in my times growing up. I'm 45 years of age, and I know I look 22. What's so funny about that? You don't agree? It's my ears again, isn't it? Amen. Moving along. The truth is, amen, is I feel 22 anyhow. I feel like charging hell with a water pistol and it empty. Amen. Amen. I had fun last night. I thought, man, if I'm going to be on this plane for 2.5 hours, y'all get me in this late, I'll use, amen, not enough sleep as an excuse. So I tormented 2 Muslims all the way here. Amen. It was so fun. It was a trip. Amen. You just had to been on there with me. I was going to get my $300 worth. Amen. Hello. Yes, sir. I tormented both of them. Moving on. Amen. The truth is, amen, as I come to tell somebody, you might have lost a round, but you're still in the fight. It might have slipped your mind, but God sent me here to remind you that this fight is fixed. It makes perfectly good sense to me. You wasn't going down, Leonard. All it was just a life lesson. It was just another opportunity for God, amen, to prove his faithfulness to heart cry. This had to happen. There's no way you can lose. And if it is, show me book, chapter, and verse in that Bible of 66 books where God has predestined me for failure. It's not one verse in there where he's predestined me for failure. He said, I'm the head, I'm not the tail. He said, I'm above only. Don't leave out that four-letter word, only. And I'm not beneath. I can make mistakes. Sometimes I fall in, sometimes I jump in, and sometimes, amen, the devil shoves me in. But listen, amen, I'm not here to complain or talk about how you got in the pit, because a pit is a pit is a pit. And if you stay there long enough, you die. Dreams die in the pit. Marriages die in the pit. Amen. Businesses die in the pit, and even churches die in the pit. But heart cry's never been in the pit. Amen. Heart cry's been in the fire, and there's a big difference between a fire, which is a purging process, amen, than it is a pit, amen. Amen. And the truth is, God's had a plan for heart cry. And I'm going to tell you something. This ain't where you stop. This is where you're getting started. Amen. There'll be more life lessons along the way. Many people will come, and many people will go. Amen. A lot of times, it'll be the very ones you've invested your life in will be the very ones that turn on you, amen, and blame you for their misery and their problems. That's called politics. I mean, it used to be that whites blamed blacks. Then you got blacks blaming whites. Then you got white and blacks, amen, blaming illegal Hispanics. Hello, amen. I mean, when's it going to stop? Amen. Hello. I mean, we always got to have somebody else to blame, amen, for our misery and our failure. When you got to realize, no matter what you're going through, if you will lift your eyes under the hills, amen, you will discover your help. Something good will come out of this. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care how close the end looks. Don't blow your brains out. Don't jump off a bridge. Don't file for divorce just yet. Amen. Amen. The truth is, God has a perfect plan and you're part of it. It's the truth. It's been my story. Have to look at all the times God's brought us through. I cannot say that I'll never be knocked down. I cannot say that I'll never be caught off guard. I can't even tell you that I won't be troubled or perplexed or think about at times just throwing in the towel and quitting. But what I can say, Brother Leonard, Daniel Couch is going to say it loud enough for every devil in hell to hear me. I'm going to make it. I will not quit. I will not lay down, and I will fight until there's no fight left in me. Does anybody agree with me? Come on, folks. Nothing shall separate me from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus my Lord. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded. I got a made up mind. Amen. That God is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Amen. Against that day, nay, in all of these things, I am more than a conqueror through him that loved me. I've been young and now am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging bread. Now unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could think or ask. According to that, weeping endures for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. God has a perfect plan. Friend, you may have lost a round. You may have had the breath knocked out of you. You might have showed up this morning with a black eye, a busted lip, a crooked, bleeding nose. But the best is yet to come. I thought this was good enough to highlight in green, amen, right here on the bowlers on the front of this laptop. I pinned this down, amen, right as the wheels touched down, amen, at Orlando International Airport. I don't know, I wasn't supposed to have it on. I was supposed to have all my electronics cut off, amen, because they would blame me for it crashing, amen. But in all reality, amen, I couldn't help but put this down. Sometimes it's easier to get forgiveness than permission, right? Come on. Huh? I opened it up, amen. The stewardess walked by and said, you can't have that on. I said, what would you do if God was talking to you? Understand, went right about our business. Amen. Muslim on each side. I had an ulterior motive for opening this up. I opened up messages on heaven, messages on hell. I opened up a message where Allah died and he's still dead. Muhammad died, he's still dead. Buddha died, he's still dead. But Jesus said, behold, I am he who was dead, but I'm alive forevermore. Hello, I let him read it all. I caught one of them doing this. He had a newspaper out and he was doing this. Well, it's fun. Amen. Come on. So I highlighted this. I think you need this. Your setback is just a setup for a comeback. Appreciate both of you. Amen. You enjoyed that, didn't you? I said your setback is a setup for a comeback. All you need is a slow charge, amen, for a few more minutes and perhaps 11 o'clock service. I dare you stay. And we close up this service this day and shut the hood. You're going to crank up and run, baby, like you ain't ran in a long, long time. Somebody hearing this message today needs to know it's not over one bit, baby. Just because you found yourself weak and you stumbled in here at Heart Cry today running on low voltage, the devil may have rung your bell and said it's over this time. You're finished and going south. But what that devil failed to tell you, I traveled 700 miles to see. And that was, amen, that was just the end of round one. That's just the end of chapter one. Friend, I'll tell you something the devil never will tell you. You're getting ready to start a new chapter, amen. Not just in a brand new building, but a brand new dimension. You see, it's a new round, a new chapter, and a new outlook on life altogether. I know I'm talking to people right now, and you're going through the fires. The worship and praise team will come. I know you're feeling the heat, and for a season now, you feel as though you've been breathing the flames of hell. But I didn't come to tell you that the fire isn't real. I didn't come to minimize the pain, amen. Neither did I show up to try to convince you that it doesn't hurt. Listen to me. I know some of you are going through the greatest fire of your life right now. For some of you, it's a financial fire. For somebody else, it's a house of fire, a sickness, a battle for your health. Somebody else is looking at a divorce, marriage problems. You're dealing with rebellious kids strung out on drugs and alcohol. But I come to tell you something. Something good is going to come out of this. Just ask my mama if something good come out of it. Amen. I said something good is going to come out of it. I'm excited. About 4 or 5 months from now, amen, I'm going to get to go back to Zambia, Africa. Preach the national conference for the nation of Zambia. The last time I was in Zambia, amen, I got to close that. I'll go another hour. Amen. The last time I was in Zambia was my mother had died of a massive heart attack. And Wendy called me and told me, she said, you know, they just found your mother in the hallway dead of a massive heart attack. And so it took me like 40-something hours to get home. And the last time I was there, though, I gave an altar call. The very night they found my mother dead, I gave an altar call for first-time salvations and went to the back of the altar call line, and it was a quarter mile long. And it was such an amazing, I've always wanted to go back, amen, to that place, amen, to where God met me. And I thought, Lord, why in the world did you wait till I was in Africa to take my mother? Her and Dad had been married for 38 years. Mom was 58 years of age. The only PhD my mother ever had was her Pentecostal hairdo. She'd pile that thing up on top of her head and put it together with barbed wire. Boy, she'd get to shouting that thing, get to moving. Then it'd get all loose. Then me and my brothers would dive under the seat. We'd get an eye poked out. Come on, amen. We're in a bobby pin. I loved my mom, man. See, my mom and dad were just my heroes in life. So many people are so unfortunate. But I was raised with a father that was broke, cried, lay at the altars. I was raised by a mama who'd pray over my hot, fevered body, and my dad would too until the fever would break. They believed in anointing with oil. I remember one time riding down the road, amen, and I was burning up with a fever, and Dad pulled that old 1972 snub-nosed Chevy van over and grabbed that dipstick. It was about 400 miles. Gets all that dipstick out of there and run that finger across that oil stick, amen. Had that old black Havoline 1040 oil. He come across three rows of seat. Man, he got done anointing me. I look like Tar Baby. I look like Buckwheat, man. I mean, he tore me up with that oil. But I'm going to tell you something. My fever broke. I was raised with those memories of a mother and a father. And I thought, God, what's good going to come out of this? Now my dad's back in America, and he's a truck driver, and he's screaming out on the phone, man, like an ungodly scream. I get on a plane. I fly 42 hours home. What good's going to come out of this, God? Mom's gone. She's the backbone of our family. Why didn't you take my uncle over there, this AC/DC fanatic, got Ozzy Osbourne tattooed on his forehead? I mean, this dude's a drug addict and an alcoholic. He's no good for nobody. He got off the boat in Vietnam, amen. Still thinks he's there. I mean, won't you take him, God? Won't you? Why don't you take my mama? She's the backbone of our family. Why didn't you take him? Nobody miss him. And God told me, said, because your mama was ready and your uncle's not. Really? Well, God, I don't like your plan. It don't make any sense to me. And it could have waited to another day when I was home and not 9,000 miles across the ocean. What good could come out of this? That music playing right there. I walked into the funeral home. Had that music playing. You're doing a good job, brother. Just picking on you. You know I can. And I look up and I see Mama's casket. I walk up that thing and I look at it. I said, really? Wow. My dad's torn to pieces. My brother's grandkids. It's a mess. I'm the only preacher in the family. We got homosexuals and lesbians and some other stuff going on in our family. What good could come out of this? And you just took the only rock we have. I lifted both hands to heaven because I'm facing a dilemma. Lifted both hands to heaven. I said, God, I don't understand your plan. It makes no sense to me. But I've lived for you long enough to know that it's always been perfect. And who am I to try to adjust it? I don't know what good could come out of this, God. I went to the pulpit and I preached my mother's funeral. 28 souls got saved. Watch this. The very first one was my backslidden brother sitting right where Brother Leonard's sitting right now. He was the last one in our family. Backslid on God, out of fellowship with God. Just gone, man. Hard, bitter, cold. While I was preaching, because Mama always told me, she said, you better preach my funeral. Preach! She said, you better tell him what I couldn't. She said, because if you don't, I'm going to come back and I'm going to tear your rear end up. She'd do it. See, in my grow house growing up, you didn't get time out. You got knocked out. So I preached Mama's funeral. Went down there, amen, and I unscrewed her casket. Slid the roses to the end of it. Hoping I had the right end, brother. I unscrewed that casket, popped that knob, reached over and grabbed that lid and opened that thing up. And I looked over at my brother and I said, get a good long look at Mama's face. He said, why? I said, get a good long look at Mama's face, Robert. He raises his eyes up, looks up there at Mama, stares at her for a minute. Right in the middle of the funeral, he said, what for? What's the purpose of doing that? I said, because if you don't repent, get right with God, bam! That was the last time you'll ever see her. Gave an altar call, man. He comes sliding in, amen, like a home run derby. Gave his heart to Jesus Christ. Been in church ever since. God's put his marriage back together. 28 people gave their life to Jesus Christ that day. And before we even took that seed and planted it in the ground, it had already brought forth the harvest. Still producing even today. I miss my mom. I love my mom. But I can tell you something good came out of it. My drug-infested, rebellious state of mind, something good come out of it. All the pressures of being down by the turnpike and that whole thing folding up, people running left and right and bailing out on you, finding out just how few friends you really had. Something good coming out of it. I love you, heart cry. And I hope this morning something's been said to minister yours. They begin to sing right now. Could you just lift up your hand? If you're lost in this room and you don't know God, Leonard told me I could quit at 10 or 10:15. Well, it's 10, so I still got 15 more minutes. If you're in this room today and you're lost without God, I dare you do something. I dare you get out of your seat right now and say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. Ain't nothing going to get any better till I change. If you want to have what I've got, you want to see what I saw, I've done, and go where I've been. If you keep doing what you've always done, you're just going to keep having more of the same. I'll guarantee there's a handful of marriages today on the brink of bankruptcy. Sir, do you love your marriage enough? Do you really want it to work enough to take the lead right now? That no matter what's happened, what the situation may be, to reach over and get her by the hand and right here in front of God and everybody. Well, if we go up, everybody's going to run them out. Let me tell you something, friend. Ain't you had enough hell to quit worrying about what everybody else is going to say and think? Because every marriage in this house has been through hell, and if it hadn't, it's on its way. I mean, my God, me and my wife get into it because I squeeze the toothpaste in the middle of the tube and don't roll it up from the bottom. Really? So, Is it about you and him? Or is it about you and them? And when you get desperate enough, you'll say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of worrying about this. Let's get up and go to the altar right now. Today is a new day. Let's close this chapter out in our life. I just sense God wanting to do something fresh in somebody's life, but he ain't going to force it on you, baby. You've got a choice right now in this room. I'm fixing to count to 10. If you're lost without God, if you're in a backslidden state of mind, you die today and you know you go to hell. If you're in this room and your marriage is sucking wind, don't sit there and try to work out a deal with one another. Church, be strong. Quit being weak for once. Quit looking over at her and expecting her to lead the family. You lead. Take the initiative. Be the hero. Don't debate it. Don't take a vote. Don't ask permission. Get her by the hand and say, come on. God's going to fix this for us, but it's going to take us laying it down for him to do so. So as we lower the lights, sanctuary, if we can, for just a few minutes. I don't know who all this altar call is for, and you're not going to give me a complex if you all pride out and stay in your seats, because my marriage is doing just fine. I'm saved. I'm born again. I swapped my cracked rock for the solid rock, and ain't been the same since. Come on, friend. God's dealing with your heart right now. I dare you, get out of your seat, make yourself away at an altar, and say, God, only you can fix this, but we turn it over to you. That's the strongest couple in the house right there. That takes guts. As they kneel down to begin to pray, who will join them? Who will join them? They broke the ice for you. Why don't everybody know in our business? Take another trip around the mountain, bud. How's that working for you? As they begin to sing right now, I'll lay the microphone down. I'm going to stand here and wait on somebody in this room to get up out of there. It ain't just marriages. There's individuals. There's wives that are right with God and husbands that are not. Come on, friend. Go ahead and sing, brother.
You provide the fire. And I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit.
Praise the Lord. Give the Lord a hand. Can we have the lights up, please? As we close today, I just want to say a couple things. Daniel came. He's doing a revival this week at one of the schools. And he came here. And as an evangelist, his living comes off love offerings from churches. And so I want us to do a love offering this morning, but here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to let you do how God leads you. You pray and ask God what he wants you to do. If you want to make a check out, you make the check out to Heart Cry. We'll see that he gets it. If you want to put it in an envelope, take an envelope. If it's cash, whatever, mark the envelope and just mark it DC for Daniel Couch, okay? Or on your check, write DC. Put an envelope right. And there's a box over here by this entryway, and there's a box over here by the glass doors. And just drop it as you leave. That way you're not under pressure to try to get it done before we leave here. But just drop it in the box, and you just do what God tells you to do. You know, he's getting ready. He's been off the mission field for a few years, and he's getting ready to go back on the mission field to Zimbabwe and Zambia. And he pays his own way. They don't pay him to come over there. And I know just an airplane ticket to there probably is a couple $1,000s. And I believe we can fund that between this service and the next and pay and send him to Zimbabwe to evangelize another part of the world. So just do what you hear from God. And that's all. No pressure. And you all know I mean that. But I know this is a generous church too. And so let's love him and love him in that way and encourage him and support his ministry in that way. God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. We went to two services. I don't know. It looks like we're going to have to go to three services. Praise the Lord. Before we leave, we haven't taken our offering up yet. Right. So, ushers, if you'll come, go ahead and have a seat real quick. I wasn't going to forget it. I just didn't want to clash between the two. So, we're going to take up our offering now, our tithes and our offerings. And then... you do what God tells you to do as far as the love offering is concerned, over and above your tithe. Amen? God bless you. It's offering time, family. God bless you. Have a great week. Thanks for being here. If you're staying over for the next message, you're welcome to do so. If not, go ahead and pick children up. Enjoy yourself in the cafe. God bless you. Have a great week.